Hold on here. I just forgot to push a button. That's all. I'm just sitting here talking to Patrick. And
what radio station?
Sorry about that. Let me see if I can get this to work. There we go. Not every day I get two bags of hay in the studio.
Oh, right.
Okay, anyway. Man, we went from farming to natural medicine to now we're going to deal with your head.
Isn't farming natural medicine?
It is. I am a firm believer. If, you know, if life was perfect and I could do the next session, I'd do a latchkey farm for kids.
Yeah.
I'd have them, the school bus, drop them off, teach them agriculture,
yeah,
and then let their parents pick them up, you know, in the evening.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, my garden's out of control.
I need help. You learn gardening, you learn farming, you learn ranching, you learn cows and horses, yeah, you learn tractors and yeah, hay machines and all that stuff. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, it's the great, absolute, the best thing you could ever teach a young person. Mm-hmm. I'm an old 4-H'er, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a 4-H'er. I was a city kid, but.
Well, yeah, you're a concrete cowboy. All hat, no cattle.
Yeah, well, and a few other things we're not going to mention on the radio.
Well, anyway, Patrick Doyle's in the house. He heads up Veritas Counseling, and he's here to take your call. The number to the studio is 776-5368. The number to his office is 622-6018. And that's 622-6018. Well, nice to see you, bud. So self-reliance, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that today.
Why? Can we talk about something else?
Sure, we can. We can talk about what we want. It's your radio station.
No, it's not. It's God's. I'm just trying to control it.
Well, you have the buttons over there. I guess I'll say that.
Well, I'm self-reliant.
Okay. So the idea about self-reliance, I'll make my statement, and then we'll talk about it.
All right.
I believe that self-reliance is the opposite of godliness.
Whoa, that's quite a statement.
Yeah.
Self-reliance is the opposite of godliness.
Yes, because godliness is based in dependence on Him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you've been to the bookstore lately? You go to that one big section called self-help?
Yeah.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yes, it is.
Self-help.
Self-help.
If I could help myself, why would I need the book? And if those self-help books worked, why do we keep writing them? Mm-hmm. Because all that information doesn't get me to the place of change.
Hmm. Okay.
So we've all been through it. We've all said, you know, I need to lose weight. I need to be less angry. I need to be less lazy. I need to be more motivated. I need to do more devotions. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. There's always something that you're trying to modify your behavior or change about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's resolutions, every year they come around. And what's the joke?
Well, they last about 6 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By February, your gym membership has not been paid for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you still haven't gone every week. And, you know, then some people are able to discipline themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm talking about self-reliance, I'm talking about when you depend on yourself for the source of power to live, you'll be disappointed.
Okay, let's do a little self-reliance check.
Okay, check.
Because all of a sudden, you know, you're going to make me feel worse than I already was. I came in here feeling pretty good. Now, you know, why do I want to go to you?
Exactly.
You know, I got you counselors figured out. First appointment, you make me feel lousy, then I need you the rest of my life, right?
Oh, that's funny. I'm working against that program myself.
Well, good.
I'm trying
make
to
me
keep,
feel better. I mean, all right.
That's my goal.
How do I know that I'm being self-reliant?
How much stress do you have?
A lot.
Okay. Who is in charge of taking care of all the issues?
Of course it's me.
Right.
God's too busy.
Yeah,
he doesn't need my stress.
Not to mention, I'm pretty capable.
Yeah, well, no, I didn't say it's capable. Okay. I just say it's my job to handle
it. You know, and we laugh, but I think, you know, as you know, Satan said to God, "I will be like God,"
mm-hmm,
and God said, "Actually, I know.
No,
you're not going to be."
Yeah.
And so when the fall came, one of the things that we did was we took. We partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, mm-hmm. which God said, that's too much for you. You're not capable of that. That's my business. That's beyond you as a human. Mm. I didn't create you to be able to handle that. So the idea that we can know is the thing that got us in trouble. And the thing that, as a part of the fall, that keeps getting us in trouble, because my fallen person wants to rely on me. It's just natural. Now, that doesn't count if I grow up in a family where it's modeled for me. I mean, in my family, it was certainly modeled for me. My dad was a guy who was a veteran of three wars. I mean, no one helped him. He was going to do it himself. And it was, basically illegal in my family to be vulnerable or to be needy or to ask for help. You had to figure it out. You had to be strong. You had to do it. You had to never let them see you sweat and that whole thing. Now, you combine that with my fallen state? Wow. Without the intervention of the Holy Spirit, there's no way I can undo that. So my what I'm getting at is self-reliance is our natural tendency as a result of the fall.
Okay.
And it leads to anxiety. It leads to depression. It leads to overwhelm. It leads to hopelessness. It leads to being tired. It leads to feeling frustrated and like you can never – like the carrot's always just right out in front of you. You can never quite arrive.
At what point, though, do you run the risk of becoming irresponsible? Because if you go down the road you're talking about here,
yes, right.
Then you abandon your responsibilities.
Well, that's the abuse of what I'm talking about. Because obviously in God's economy, there's no abandoning of responsibility. There's accepting of responsibility. So as someone who's self-reliant, the antidote to being dependent isn't sitting on my hands waiting for somebody to do it for me all the time, which is what people tend to think of when you say, well, if I'm not going to do it, who is? I'm just going to wait for somebody to come show up and do it? No. So if I'm in a relationship with God, so like I see God as a father. You know, I have kids. When my kids are little, I have expectations of them commensurate with their age, right? So I don't expect the same thing of a four-year-old I do of a 19-year-old, right? A four-year-old is much more dependent on me than a 19-year-old, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one of the things we get in trouble with is as humans is that we think that one day we're going to become adults in God. And we won't really need to depend on him anymore because we've been in church a long time and we know the Bible and we've got all the principles and, blah, blah, blah. But our dependence on him never ceases. It's always present. Do I know more about him today? Yeah. Do I understand him better? Yeah. Do I trust him more? Yeah. Am I still in need of him and dependent on him? Absolutely. So it doesn't mean I sit on my hands. I mean, let's see, I'm involved in all kinds of things as a result of my dependence on him. When I was more self-reliant, I was much more hesitant to get involved in things because I knew I couldn't handle it.
I had a couple of pastors in here yesterday talking
about... I listened to that. I loved it.
Talked about, burnout. And it was kind of interesting as you heard their stories. Mm-hmm. Each one was different, but yet there were some similarities. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I noticed was is that they needed to be told. Now, one hit the wall, and the other one needed to be told.
Uh-huh.
And the hard transition was, no, you don't understand. I'll take a vacation as soon as.
Uh-huh.
Right. Now, I'm guilty of that. I'm right in the middle. I mean, I got about 14 fires going on my desk right now. They're all just burning, and they all require more gas and a fan and everything else going on. And I keep thinking, all right, I'll take a break when I get 13 of the 14 out.
Yeah, right. And by the time you get to the end of that 13, there's 14 more.
Yeah.
It's an endless merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's a great thing. And this is one of the things I think that's colossally dangerous about being in quote-unquote ministry is that pastors are set up to be the guy. They're the ones that everyone depends on.
Well, they are.
Yeah,
the position puts them there.
Well, in some senses, yes, But in other senses, no. Look, as a minister, as a pastor, your job is to be first and foremost a vessel, not someone who's got it all together. Now, do you have to qualify? Of course. We're not talking about that, but the source of my strength, the source of my ministry isn't me. I'm just a pass-through vessel. This is the question I get all the time, Perry. How do you do what you do? How do you sit in an office all day long and listen to people's horror stories and trouble? Well, it's easy. I'm like a fly on the wall of the workshop of God. I don't have the power to fix someone who comes into my office. There was time in my counseling career where I thought I was. And I thought, this is also one of the reasons why psychiatrists kill themselves at a high clip, because they believe they can fix it. No, you can't. I can't change the soul of another person or motivate them or make their heart be different. God can use me as an agent of change, but if he's not involved, it's not going to happen.
I really struggling with a part of this and the reality part of it.
Okay.
The reality part of it is if you're in leadership, you're stuck.
You have responsibility.
Yeah, you're stuck. And you, there is a lot that is relying upon you being consistent and being there. And
correct. But what do I depend on for that reality to maintain? Me and all what I do, or an intimacy or dependence on God giving it to me?
Okay.
And there's a key difference there. Yeah. When I'm climbing the ladder, I'm burned out. I don't have much for you. I'm stressed out. I'm overwhelmed. When I'm this is the thing I get back to. Jesus was the model, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I only do what the Father says. Jesus never did anything out of need, only obedience. Now, see, that's the key component for successful ministry in my mind, is that I'm not doing it because, look, if you go into the average congregation, you've talked about the research, you know, a lot, Perry, where, you know, there's so many people in the church who are hurting and lonely. If you look at the need as a pastor, as a man, you will be flat overwhelmed. There's no way in the world you can handle the need of a congregation. Nobody can. But on the other hand, if you look at it and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do today about what is in front of me? And what vision do you want to give me in terms of this group of people you've given me to shepherd? You're dependent on him to do the work. You're just the vessel, and that takes a lot of the pressure off. I'm not saying it's not tiring. I'm not saying it's not troublesome. I'm not saying it's not emotionally draining. I'm not saying it's not physically draining. It is, but it's different than being burned out. Burnout to me is a symptom of self-reliance. I'm doing it in my own strength. I'm doing it because I'm trying to meet all the needs. And one of the main messages I heard those guys talking about is love. Well, you cannot love someone else if you yourself are not loved from God. The source of love is God. Mm-hmm. It's not me or my good deeds and my, you know, eloquent words and blah, 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 blah. That stuff falls flat.
Well, one of the things that kind of got me yesterday listening to Pastor Gaylord Enns was
right.
That when he hit the wall, he was driving the church
yeah,
to give the Sunday morning service.
Yeah, right.
And instead of taking the exit to the church, he went another way.
Yeah.
And I guess had a complete surprising emotional breakdown.
Yeah, which tells me there's a lot of denial going on.
Well, okay, because one of the things that was so surprising to me was that he didn't pray or read the scripture for 6 months.
Right.
Now, did God stop loving him?
Nope.
Okay. Would God understand that?
Absolutely. Did God work through it?
Yeah, he worked him through it.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. But what I'm saying is when you have to depend on you, the tendency is to not be honest. You know, if I believe I'm the source, if I'm a pastor of a church and I believe I'm the source, I'm in serious trouble because I know intuitively I don't have it. In the quietness of my own soul, I know I'm not capable. If it's not for God's infusion of the Holy Spirit, no group of people has any hope of loving each other successfully or effectively. You look at the early church, the difference between them And you know, the rest of the population was the Holy Spirit and the love that God transmitted through the Holy Spirit to them, to each other, which is the other thing that I wanted to talk about. Self-reliance, one of the things that breaks self-reliance is transparency. When I start to become transparent with others, it's a lot more difficult to be self-reliant.
I'm processing that one.
Okay? Because what happens is when I talk about what I'm struggling with and when I talk about what's bothering me, it helps me see, oh, I have a need. I have a need means I'm not capable, which is putting me back into a place of dependence with God. Now, I'm not
Can you recognize that need without being transparent?
God can show it to you, but to live a life without transparency is to limp. You can get there, but you're going to limp. You lose some of the power that God intended through the scriptures. What he says is that, you know, I'm making you a family.
Because one of the concerns I have is that people, by the time I get them and send them to you. But you know,
thank you, by the way.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I just don't call me, folks. That's just not my calling. But you know, you get this. You're in the system.
Yeah.
And is that they've had a very painful experience in being transparent.
Yes, right.
It's not that somebody violated them. It's just that they come to the conclusion that the one that they were unloading on and being transparent with,
right,
really didn't care.
Right. Yeah, happens.
And that they ended up talking about them. In other words, if I was to come to you and I dumped on you, and you say, well, you know, and let me tell you about me.
Right.
All of a sudden you go, you know, I just wasted an hour here. I just assume go hit my thumb with a hammer and then go through this again. And that's one of the most frustrating things. So people want to be transparent, but who can they trust?
Right.
Who really does care?
Right.
So is it wrong in taking that transparency and that need to be cared for to God and just trust him? Or
no.
Do we have to go to a third person?
Well, it's two-pronged, Perry. Both are necessary in my mind. You obviously have to have that intimacy and transparency with God. I mean, God is already aware of what you're doing and what you're thinking and what you're feeling. But it's really important for us to vocalize it to him as an act of trust, confirming that God is indeed a safe and loving place, okay? Keeping it all inside, I can start to doubt that. But when I let it out to God and I say those ugly things that I think or feel, and he doesn't knock me into next week, but instead he swoops me up and loves me, now that confirms to me, now, okay, this is a safe place. Now, one of the things that I think is underlying what you're saying is that you go to someone in the let me preface it with this. I've been to lots of recovery meetings. I've been to lots of NA meetings. I've been to lots of AA meetings. I've been to lots of church meetings. And there was a time in my life when I assumed that everyone in church and everyone in AA and everyone in NA was there for the right reason.
Mm. So they even phony there.
Yeah. And what I realized in all those places, there are people who are not trustworthy. There are people who will hurt you. And so this is where Jesus said, be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove.
Yeah, but when you're hurting, you're not wise, you're not gentle, you're not anything. You're just hurting.
But you need to be.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is that. So if you see someone or you know someone who has a proven track record of trust, and if you don't know anybody, the person who you think is most trustworthy, take a small, and I underscore, embolden, and highlight the word small, risk. And see how they handle it. Don't just go dump completely on somebody. They have to earn the trust. I have a man in my life who has earned trust. I can tell him anything. And it's safe. I know that. It's been proven 1,000 times over. That didn't start all at once. It built. It grew. And this is why I keep coming back to this, because if you don't start the process of growing this in your life in the sense that you're taking those small risks and building the trust, then when the crisis comes, you got it. You got nothing. You got to hold it. And you got to go to God. And while that's good, I can't tell you the power that's involved in trusting another human in the economy of God, how that reflects his severe mercy. is something profoundly powerful about that. And so what I see, and when I heard it in these pastors, and I was so glad for their transparency, I heard it in their stories. They weren't talking to anyone. It's all on their shoulders. It's inside. They don't even know. You know what? If I was in that condition, the men in my life would be like, hey, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I just...
But you see, that takes time to develop, and you have to be careful about it. I am clear.
I just think that's part of the disease isn't the right word, but it's part of the makeup of being a spiritual leader. I don't know, until they hit the wall, I don't know of a safe place for a pastor to go. I mean, other than to God,
well,
maybe to his wife. But I mean, I really don't know a safe place where these people in spiritual leadership can go.
And see, that's got to change, in my opinion, because that's why guys are dropping like flies. Because there's no way a man can handle, and I think...
I don't know if it's not handling it, it's just that they can't... by the time... I mean, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you sit in there hour after hour. I mean, you're a human garbage can. Okay, so you take all this stuff in. Where do you dump it?
Well, like I said, every Saturday morning, I meet with a couple guys. They know everything about me.
Yeah. Now, see, where does a pastor go? Because the moment that the pastor goes, or a leader goes,
right,
and dumps,
right.
I mean, I understand the trust factor. I really do.
Yeah, I understand that.
I've been bit on that so many times. I don't even knock on that door anymore.
But I know many pastors throughout my life who had it.
Yeah.
And it's valuable, and you have to develop it.
So they end up resigning and starting over.
Well, yeah, but the truth is, if you don't have that kind of security, how can you be under that kind of scrutiny and not have a safe place to dump the stuff you're dealing with? If you don't dump it, you hold on to it, which makes you ineffective at dealing with people.
Well, look at Michael Jackson today. Michael Jackson, I mean, here we are burying this rock star.
Right.
And I mean, the life behind it.
It's a horror.
It's just unbelievably a mess.
Yes.
Okay? He obviously was crying for help.
Yes.
But
tortured soul.
And here he is. He's a very high-profile people. Pastors are high-profile people.
Yeah.
And the moment they seek out help, it's a sign of weakness.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, as a pastor, as a leader in the church, that's one of the monikers that we carry, is humility. Look, I am not the end-all, be-all. I'm not the spiritual barometer. I'm a vessel. God, Jesus, he's the spiritual barometer. I'm just his servant, mm-hmm. You know, called by him to serve the church. Not to be everything that he was. It's impossible. So the idea that we're going to, you know, be immune is ridiculous. And that's what I think is killing guys in the church today, because there is no safety. And look, as a family, when trouble comes, you don't shoot, you don't kill, you don't disqualify the people in your family. Now, there are certain things, obviously, biblically, that would disqualify a leader.
Yeah.
And leaders are held to a higher standard. That is true. But it doesn't mean you can't have a safe place. If you don't have a safe place as a person, and even more importantly as a leader, you're on a road to trouble, because there's too much pressure for a human being to handle.
All right. 1 minute.
1 minute.
Less minute. Less
okay.
Than a minute. 45
seconds.
Tell me what a self-reliant person should do.
A self-reliant person should do is ask for some feedback from people who know you pretty well.
Ooh.
And ask them, do you think I'm self-reliant? Do you think I'm prideful or arrogant?
Ooh.
And if they say yes, then repent and go to the Lord and say, God, help me to see who I am and restore me to humility. And I trust me, that's what God wants.
Patrick Doyle, Veritas Counseling. Call them if you're self-reliant and you need to get out of there. That's 622-6018.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful office over there in the Noonan Square. 622-6018. Give them a buzz. Thanks,
Thank
bud.
You.
See you next
you
time.
Bet.